We're going to do Chazara, quick Chazara, but an important Chazara on Mem, Aleph, Hamad, Beis, Itmar. Heviu lefneim te'enim v'anovim b'teich ha-su'uda. They brought them te'enim and anovim b'teich ha-su'uda. So Baruch Hashem, we now realize that is not there to satiate you. It's not there lelafis ben esapas, but rather, as Rashi calls it, or Tosis calls it, kinoach, or lemasek esapeh, just to give a nice taste. So, Omar Avuna, tu'unim brocha lefneim, ve'im tu'unim brocha lachareim, you need a first brocha, not a second. V'chein Omar Rav Nachman says the same, tu'unim brocha lefneim, ve'im tu'unim brocha lachareim. Opinion number one. Rav Sheshe says, no, tu'unim brocha bein lefneim, bein lachareim. Why? She'ein lecha dovor, because there doesn't exist anything. She'ton brocha lefonov, ve'ein ton brocha lacharov. You can't have a first brocha without the second. El pasabor bekisnil bilvad. That's a different subject. We discussed that on Tuesday. But generally, if there's a first brocha, there has to be a second. You can't have one without the other. Pliga de Reb Chiya. They're arguing with Reb Chiya. Tom Reb Chiya pas poiteres kol minei meichel.
That Ella.
Ella pasabor bekisnil bilvad. That's the only case where there'd be a difference between Brocha Rishon and Achreina, but Upligid Reb Chiya, Omer Reb Chiya, Pas Poiteres Kol Minei Meichels. Reb Chiya disagrees with both opinions because he says, not only is there no after Brocha, there's no first Brocha either. Why? Once you have bread, game over. That exempts absolutely every food. V'yayin Poiter Kol Minei Mashkim, and wine would exempt all Minei Mashkim. Fine, so those are the three opinions. Omer of Papa, so this is where we all drew our charts. And Baruch Hashem, we saw the Shulchan Aruch as well. Hilchasa, what is the bottom line? Dvarim haboim machmas hasu'uda b'teich hasu'uda. So how did we define that? We saw Machloikas, Rashi and Tosfos. We're going to home in on Tosfos. Why are we going to home in on Tosfos? Because that's the way we paskin lahalocha. That dvarim haboim b'teich hasu'uda machmas hasu'uda means anything that you'd normally eat as a basic part of the meal, you'd eat in a bread-based meal. And that would include your fish and your meat and your potatoes and your salad, and in fact it would almost include absolutely everything. Not like Rashi says that machmas hasuda means it's lalafes bohenes hapas, so it becomes a toffel. So remember, Tosis didn't like that. Why didn't Tosis like that? Because this is not the sugya of toffel and ikka. Ikka and toffel is a mishnah later on. That's not our subject. Fine, so if it is something which is machmas hasuda b'teich hasuda, then ein tunim bracha lo lefneim v'lo l'achreim. So it doesn't require either a first bracha or an after bracha, and this is the way we paskin lahalocha, as we saw in Shulchan Aruch. So when you have your meat and your potatoes and your salad and your fish during the meal, the bread-based meal, there is no first bracha. Why? Because the hamotzi includes it. There's no after bracha because brikas hamazon includes it. V'sheloi machmas hasuda. What happens if it's not machmas hasuda? What does that mean? It's not there to satiate you. Rather, something like sweetness, yeah, fruit, chocolate, whatever it may be, then it depends. If it's eaten b'toich hasuda, then what's the halacha? Tu'unim brocha lefneim. Yes, you have to make a brocha on your dessert. A first brocha, but ve'ein tu'unim brocha la'achareihem, it does not require an after brocha. Why? Because even though it's not there to satiate you, but it's eaten b'toich hasu'uda, which means it's part of the meal. So Birkas HaMazon will cover it. What does it mean, la'acha hasu'uda? So la'acha hasu'uda, if you remember, became irrelevant la'halocha. Why did it become irrelevant la'halocha? Because the way Tosfos explained this, and the Shulchan Aruch again, paskin this, it means something which is eaten after you are Moishach Yodehen Min HaPas. You haven't yet benched, but you finished the meal. So then, it's not part of the meal. If that's the case, Tu'unim Brocha, Bein Lefneim, Bein Lachreim, then you would need a Brocha before and after. So if you remember, Tosfos said, and the Shulchan Aruch told us as well, that this is not our custom. Our custom is that what? There doesn't really exist the concept of la'achar hasu'uda. There's no such thing as being moishach yodein es hapas, and we discussed it. That was different. They removed all the tables. However, we must remember, having now finished the sugya, that there does exist, however, a concept of I have finished the meal. What is that? Either when you washed your hands, my machreinim, or if you said, I'd like to bench, havlon v'navrich. It's just that this concept of being moishich yodei, withdrawing your hands, no, that doesn't exist nowadays. But certainly the concept of hesach hadas jolly well does exist. Okay. Shoalu es ben zoyma mipneima omru dvorim haboim machmas hasuda b'toich hasuda. Einom tu'unim brocha loy lifneim v'loy la'achareihem. Why did you say, why did they say, that anything that comes as part of the meal does not require a first or after bracha? Malem hoyel upas poitrason. The answer is because bread exempts them. Really? Ihochi yain nami niftere pas. So why don't we say the same with wine? Wine should also be exempted, and it isn't. No. Shani yain de geirim bracha la'atzmoi. Wine has its own special bracha. We saw different pshatim. Rashi says one pshat, Tosfos says a different pshat, as in Rashi learns it's a very choshev bracha because you find it in many places. Tosfos says no, it's choshev because it's the only drink where you squeeze the fruit, the bracha becomes upgraded and not downgraded. There's something special about Hagofen. Rav Huna ochal tlesa rifti. Rav Huna ate 13 breads, b'nei tlosa tlosa b'kav of 3 kav each, v'loy birech. He did not make an after bracha, and we saw machloikas, or Shaila, exactly what did he eat? So Rashi learns he ate pas habor bekisnin. He ate pas habor bekisnin and did not make an after bracha. He didn't make a birchas hamazon. Omalei Rav Nachman adei kafna. These are certainly something, these are certainly foods that are eaten when you're hungry, in which case, what should the rule be? If it's the normal to be koveya suda over, then you jolly well would have to make a bracha. Rav Yehuda have a osik leil brei. He was busy with his son, Bei Rav Yehuda bar Chaviva Aisul Kamayu Pasabo Bekisnin. They brought in front of them Pasabo Bekisnin ki osa. Shami, when he came, they heard the Kamavarchi Amoitzi. Omelohu, wow, what's going on? Maitzaitzi the Koshamano. What is this noise that I heard? Dilma Amoitzi Lechem in Haaretz, Kamavarchi too. Did I hear you saying Amoitzi Lechem in Haaretz? I'm like, in, yes. Well, why did you do that? The Tani, because we have a Brisa. And it says, Rab Muna o Amar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Pasa Boba Kisnin, Mavarchin Oleo Hamoitzi. Vama Shmuel Alocha, Kerbe Muna. And Shmuel told us that is the halacha. So that's what I was doing. Why are you so surprised? I'll tell you why I'm surprised. Because ain't halacha ke Rav Huna. Because halacha is not like Rav Huna. I'm not denying Rav Huna held that, but we don't pass like that.
Rav Muna.
Itma Omri Lei. So they said to him, what's going on? What, you don't pass like that? You don't pass like Shmuel? Who said that you do pass like Rav Muna? What's going on? For Hamaru Da'oma, isn't it that you yourself said Mishmei the Shmuel in the name of Shmuel Lachmanios, some type of rolls? Marvin Ben, you can make an Erev over them. Umavarchin Alein Amoitzi. So why are you telling me that we don't paskin like Rav Muna, but you yourself said in the case of Lachmanios that you do make Amoitzi? He said, no, there's a difference. Shani Hosam de Kova Suudose Olayhu. Avalechim de Loi Kova Suudose Olayhu? Loi. Fine. Rav Papa ikla lebei Rav Huna. Rav Papa came to the house of Rav Huna, brei de Rav Nosson, bosar de gomar sudosayu. After they finished the meal, aisu lekamayu midi lemechal. They brought in front of them something to eat. They've already finished the meal. And guess what? Shokal Rav Papa v'kochel, and he ate it. Meaning, without any first brocha. Omri leis, they said to him, what's going on? Lo soval armar, doesn't the master hold gomar? Immediately having finished the meal, Asr Milechoil, Amalu says, no, Silek Itmar. It's not enough just to have stopped eating. You have to have withdrawn yourself from the meal. What does that mean? You remove the table, for example. You removed all the food. Itmar Rava Varav Zera, Iklu Labe Rish Galusa. They came to the house of Rish Galusa, Labosa de Salikutaka Mikamayu. After they indeed removed the table. So this is not just Gomar. They haven't merely stopped eating, they've actually cleaned away and removed the entire table. Shodri lohu ristana mibei resh galusas. They sent them some further food from the host, and Rava ochel yate. Rav Zeira lo yochel. So they said, what's going on? Amalei, they said to Rava, Loisovar lo mar, does the master not hold that Silek is Asami Lechel? Bishlam, in the previous story where it was just Gomar had merely stopped eating, but you haven't done any positive act of removing the table, so I understand. But over here, they have removed the table. So he says, yes, but whose table do they move? Amalei Anan, we attacke Deresh Galusa Samchinon. We are reliant on the host's table, meaning if you are the balabais yourself or the host isn't there, then each person is his own boss. So once you've removed your table, that's it. That's Hesach Hadas. If you now want to eat again, you have to make a first bracha. But over here, where they're being hosted by the Resh Galusa, so therefore, we're not the boss over here. Who's really deciding when the meal has finished? It's the host. And if he clearly sent us more food, then obviously he's decided the meal hasn't finished. Therefore, it's irrelevant that we removed our table.
If they remove his table first, and yours is still there,
That's a good question. That's a good shaila. Would you say it the other way around? Even l'kula, if the host removed his table and you haven't, so l'chayra, you'd be right. If you're going to be consistent, you have to say once the host removed his table, then he's obviously decided that that's it. That's your lot. Yeah, but my table's still here. Okay. But you ain't getting any more food. We have to see, maybe in the halacha we'll discuss this.
So we're saying if one does remove his own table, no Resh Galusa, mm-hmm. no host.
And that's it. You want to eat, you've got to make a bracha rishayna. You're allowed to eat.
So the tzad that says, no, that's not Hefz Hadas,
mm-hmm.
it really is.
It's definitely...
We don't have to wait to wash our hands. That
right.
would be it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how we paskin. In a moment, the Gemara says, we don't paskin this table removing.
Okay.
So at our table, let's say you're somewhere and you're finishing up dessert and the Malabo says, let's bench.
Right, that's
and you
it.
Have one little piece of cake left on your plate. You
that's
stop.
It. Yeah, unless he's just not merely... unless he's not making a decision on your behalf. Unless he says, listen, you'll excuse me, I just have to run out, so let me just bench. So he's very happy for you to carry on eating. But if he looks at his watch and says, okay, fine, that's it, folks. I have a friend whose father's a little bit blunt, doesn't mince his words. So he told me once that they had some guests over. You know, this nightmare scenario where the guests just don't leave. You ever had that?
Yeah.
The guests just don't leave, and you're trying to like wind down the conversation, and then they don't get it. So eventually, this friend, my friend's father says to him, eventually, he says, you know, I've got guests to entertain, but I don't know what's keeping you. And then they got the message. Okay, so let's have a look. The Gemara is going to tell us how we paskin. Omar Rav, harogil b'shemen. Oh, in Yonah Diyema with the oil. If you normally lather some shemen over your hands, then it's the shemen ma'akvoy. Then the shemen will be the last stage. And until you've done that, then clearly you haven't decided that the end of the meal has arrived. Omar Rav Ashi, ki havinon bei Rav Kana. When we were in the house of Rav Kana, Omar Lon, they said, k'goin anon, with us, the regalilon b'mishcha, we taka normally lather this oil. Mishcha ma'akvalon, and indeed the oil will withhold us, meaning the lack of oil, as long as you haven't put the oil on, then clearly the end of the meal has not yet arrived. Says the Gemara, v'les hilchasa k'chol hanishmaitza. But the halacha is not like what we just said, it's not dependent on tables, and it's not toila on Shemen. So what is it dependent on? Elo kihod amar v'chir ba'ashi amar rav. It's dependent on something else completely. Shalosh tekifois hein. There are three tekifois. What does tekifois mean? Juxtapositioning or immediately. Tekef l'smicha shchita, tekef l'gu'ula tfila. But what's relevant to us is tekef l'natilas yodayim bracha. So it's the natilas yodayim, when you do your bracha achroina, that is the Hesach Hadas, not the removing of the table and not the oil, although we did see in Tosfos that certainly if you say Raboisai Nevarech or Havlon Venavrich, that's also an act of Hesach Hadas. Omer Abaya, let me just add one more. Af Onu Noima, let us also say Tekef L'Tamidei Chachamim Brocha. There is another juxtapositioning. Whenever there's Tamidei Chachamim around, there is immediate Brocha. Shenema Vayevorcheni Hashem Biglolecho. Who is speaking there? It is Lavan, who says that he's been blessed because he's been surrounded by Talmud Chacham. So you see, Talmud Chacham brings instant bracha. Or Yiboyeseima, alternatively, there's a different source, Mihocha, Shenema, Vayvorach Hashem is Beis HaMitzri, Biglal Yosef, which is this week's parasha, would you believe it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed the Beis HaMitzri. Who was the Beis HaMitzri? Potiphar. Why? Again, the Tzaddik was there, Biglal Yosef, so the Tzaddik brings about Brocha. Okay, so it's a little bit of a quick Chazorah, I know, but let's try and have a look now at the Halacha. So, the first part, Baruch Hashem, we've learned, and as I mentioned, we paskan like Tosus with regard to the definition of Dvor Maboyim Machmas Hasuda. So we wanted to have a look at these last halachas. So have a look at Simon Kuf Samach Ches. Kuf Samach Ches. In mine, it's page
132.
Yeah, but we're going to start from Sivov. Very famous Sif in Shulchan Aruch. Hasir Moshe Zelig has learned it 1,000 times already. Pas Habo'o Bekisnin. Pas Habo'o Bekisnin. Now, it's a little bit strange, because I'm reading Shulchan Aruch. I'm a simple Jew. I have no idea what Pas Habo'o Bekisnin means. We normally translate it as some sort of a mini snack or something like that, but what is the real definition of Pas Habo'o Bekisnin? So here over here, Shulchan Aruch sort of works backwards. In Siv Vav, it tells you all the halachics. It's only when you get to Siv Zayin that it actually tells you what Pas Habo'o Bekisnin is. We would have thought maybe should write it the other way around. First, tell me what Pas Habo'o Bekisnin is, and then you tell me the halachics. Okay. Shulchan Aruch, Berev Chochmosai, decided that's not the order. So, perhaps let's just have a brief peek at Siv Zayin, just to know what we're talking about, and then we'll come back to Siv Vav. Pas Habo'o Bekisnin. Now, what is that? Now, these are Rishonim, which, to be honest, we did not learn. We did not learn, but we're going to see them over here. Yesh Meforashim. Some explain, so we did see Rashi and Tosis about this. Pas she'osu kemin kisim. It is a certain type of bread which is made as kemin kisim. What's kisim? Like covers or pockets or pouches. Shememalim oisom. You fill them with dvash, honey, oisukah, sugar. Ve'egoizim, nuts, shkedim, almonds. Tavlin spices, vehein hanikra'in, rishkalish rialchashu. No, Mrs. Geller doesn't have any rialchashu recipes?
Rashi uses the same term.
Rashi uses...
Was that the same term?
Rashi says ubliash.
Oh, okay.
Ubliash is going to be mentioned actually in Sif Ches in the Shulchan Aruch. Those are the Lachmanias.
Okay.
So that's what some say they are. V'yesh oimam. And some say, this is the opinion of the Rambam, shehi isa, it is a dough, she'irev bo, which was mixed in it, dvash oy shemen, oy cholov. Mixed in it was honey, oil, milk, oy mini tavlin, or some type of spices, but often then got baked. V'hu she'yeh tam taroyves, such that the tam, the taste of this eventual mixture was what? You could actually taste the meperos or hatavlin was nikar be'isa. It was nikar be'isa, it was recognizable. So what's the difference between the two pshatim? The first pshat is, it is basically bread. Inside the bread, meaning not as part of the bread. Just for the sake of explaining it, pretty much like a type of bereka. So you have an outside pastry, and then inside there's different fillings. You put potato in there, the potato is not part of the bread. The bread is the pouch in which the filling is held. So the first pshat tells us that Pas Habo'o Bekisnin is bread, which has kisim, that's why it's called Pas Habo'o Bekisnin, and what you put in that pocket, all of the above, honey or sugar or egoism, whatever it is. The second pshat is that no, it's actually part and parcel of your bread. Because when you made the dough originally, you mix these ingredients then, such that, obviously we're talking about they're not negligible, because when you actually taste the bread, it is clearly recognizable that it has that specific taste. So according to the first pshat, when did you add this filling? Only after you bake the bread. Whereas the second pshat is, no, part of the baking process. That's the machlokes rishonim over here, phenomenally large machlokes, what is pasabor bekisnim. Now, miss out the parentheses, go on to the next page. V'yesh mefarshim, this is now a third opinion. Shehu pas bein metubeles. What does metubeles mean from the word tavlin? Both, whether it is spiced, bein mesha'in metubeles, or whether it is not spiced. She'oisim oisom, you make them ke'ovim yeveshim. Thick, dry, the koisasin oisam. What does the koisasin oisam mean? You chew them. How you? So, they're chewed. Vehim hanikroim bishkanish.
Biscuits.
In other words, some say it's not like the first two opinions. It's something which is crackly, which is crispy. A normal piece of bread, you don't snap in half unless it's very stale. It's very soft. But a biscuit, or a cookie, or something like that, or a matzah, let's say, for example, is something which has to be properly chewed and cracked. It's crumbly. So those are the three opinions. This is the opinion of Rav Ahai. So what do we pass in the Ochel HaMaisa? Very, very interesting. Says the Shulchan Aruch, V'halocha kedivrei kulam. Shalakol elu hadvarim noisnim lohem dinim she'omarnu b'pas abo'o b'kisnim. Says the Shulchan Aruch, I'm paskening like all of the above, and that is, any one of these cases has all of the halachas of Pasabor Bekisin, which we said already, which is the Sivov that we're now going to come back to.
And these are all regular dough with water?
Well, for the third case.
It sounds like everything you see when you walk into Naaman Bakery.
Could be Pasabor Bekisin, of course, this.
Yeah, right.
So, there is much halachic discussion, but let's come back now. At least now, we know what we're referring to in Siv Vov. So, when Siv Vov says, Pas habo'o bekisnin, so we know it's either the bread with a filling, or it is the sweet-tasting bread, or it is the crackly bread, the crispy, there's probably a better word for it.
Chewy. Flat bread.
But hard, something which hard, like a cracker, as opposed to bread, which you can actually snap in half. So there's a different texture to it than regular bread. Okay, we'll see further details about exactly what it is, but now let's just see the halachic. So Pasabor Bekisnin, Mavore Cholov Boire Minei Mezoinus. We're not talking about over here, you're eating it as a bread-based meal. You sit down and you have your Pasabor Bekisnin. You make a brocha of boimene mezonos or la acharov brocha achas mein shalosh.
What's the maximum you can eat?
Oh, one second, let's go slowly. Veim ochal mimenu shiur. And if you ate that amount, sha'achelim regilim likvoya olov, that other people are rogil to be koveya asuda over. Meaning, if you take these, let's argue, for argument's sake, berekas. Now, barek, I think, is a good example of where you could eat it, in theory, as a little snack. But it could be as part of your meal. It could be that's your meal. So it could be that somebody's actually going to sit down and have, half a dozen barekas, and that will be his meal. So it's something which is acherim regilim likvoya, if you have that shear. So if I have the six barekas now, even if I wasn't being koveya suda over them, it wasn't for me, this is just a snack, I'm still planning on eating in half an hour, whole proper meal. Doesn't matter. What would be the halacha? Afal pi shehu loy sova mimenu, even though he himself was not satisfied from this. Why? Because he was not being kaveya suda over, doesn't matter. Mavarich olov hamoitzi uberkas hamozoin, it becomes absolutely considered pass out and out. Vim mitchiron. Therefore, this is the big, big question. This is the big question. What do you do if you sit down for breakfast and you have 6 pieces of cake? Or you have 8 crackers and you put vegetables on them?
Going back to the last sit for a second.
Yeah.
If you had no intention of eating 6, but 2, ate 6.
Right.
At that point,
so let's carry on. This is the next case. That's the next case. That's the next case.
Okay.
Carry on the Shulchan Aruch. V'mitchila hoya b'daitoi lechol mimenu ma'at. And what happens if at the beginning I was only planning having a little nibble?
Right.
Ubirich, boy, I made mezainus. I wasn't planning having 6. And guess what? V'achakach ochal shiur. And then eventually you did get to that shiur sh'achirim koivim olov. Yevorich olov, boy, birkas amozen. And you would make a bracha birkas amozen afal pishe loy birich amoitzi. Tchilo. It's a great quiz question. You can ask this around your Friday night table. How can it be that somebody was mechuyev to say Birkas Hamazon even though he never said Hamoitzi? And not only did he not say Hamoitzi, he wasn't mechuyev to say Hamoitzi, because at the time he ate, he was not planning on eating 6. Final case. Ve'im ochal shiur sha'achirim Ein kovim olav. Now, what would be the other way around? What happens if you only eat, in our example, for imagine we're considering that 6 is the amount that you'd be kaveya suda over. So what happens if you never ate 6? But it happens to be I've got a very small appetite. Afal pi shehu kovim olav, even though he personally did establish his meal. For me personally, I've got a small appetite. I have 3 berekas and I'm done. And that's a meal. That will be my absolute meal. But people don't do that. People do 6. So we said before that it all depends on what?
People regularly.
On what do people do? So do we say that in both directions? Both whether I had less than the norm or more than the norm? Remember, what was the first case? The first case is I had my 6, but for me that's just a nibble. Because I'm not satisfied. And what do we say? It doesn't matter the way you feel. Look what other normal people do. That's a kviyas suda. Here we're discussing the opposite case. To the contrary, I had a very small amount and I am satisfied. That's my kviyas suda. But other people don't. So do I look at other people? Do I look at myself? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Einoy mevarech elo boyim ne mezoynes ubrocha achas me'en sholish. Why? Famous principle. Botlo daitoy Eitzel kol adam. What does it mean? Botlo daitze eitzel kol adam. Does anybody remember this phrase? We had it in Sukkah daf dalet. I'm sure everybody remembers. When your sukkah was higher than 20 amos, so you want to raise the floor. So if you raise the floor by putting earth on the floor, that's a perfectly normal way of doing so. That's what the floor is. So now the height of my sukkah is no longer 20. But if I put pillows on the floor, even if I'm a very wealthy guy and I couldn't care less, I've got nothing to do, I don't mind stamping all over my pillows, says the Gemara, Botla Daito, his das is annulled. It's a kolodom. Normal people do not put pillows on the floor, or more accurately, if they do, why?
Not the normal thing.
Yeah, but why? What do normal people do even if they do put pillows on the floor?
They don't step on them.
They don't step on them or they don't leave them there. If you cannot consider this as part of the floor, because it's going to be picked up. What are you going to say? No, I personally am not planning on picking it up. I've got 7 million pillows. I've got nothing to do with these. Doesn't matter. Botla daita isl kolodom. This is a very, very important halacha, by the way, in Hilchas Nidah. A woman goes to the mikvah. She comes out, she has something on her hand which is a chatzitza. She finds on her hand, she's got a piece of glue. She was gluing. I had this case recently. Somebody knocked on her house Friday night, 10 o'clock at night. Said his wife just came back from the mikveh. She was very busy with glue today, which, by the way, is neged halacha. Because halacha says quite clearly on the day of the mikveh, she should not be involved in any sticky-type substances, like kneading dough or whatever it is. And she did, however, check her whole goof, went to the mikveh, and she's just come back now, and she's found a blob of glue on her finger. So I don't really think we have much of a sophic where that glue came from. Normally, we always try and work it out. Who says it was there before? Maybe it came afterwards. Obviously, this didn't come afterwards on Shabbos. So now, what would be the correct approach to that? We're not talking about it was a tiny little speck. He said it was a sizable piece. How she missed it, I have no idea. So normally in Hilchas Chatzitza, the all-important question is one word, makpid or not makpid? Are you particular about this or not? But in this particular case, I didn't even ask him that. Why? Because it's safe to say that most people in the world do not want to walk around, most women especially, do not want to walk around with a blob of glue on their fingers. In which case, even if in theory she would turn around to me and say that what? It doesn't bother me. What would we say?
Go dip again.
Sorry? Just go get mikvah again. Why? Botlo daitoi eitzel kol adam. Your das doesn't count because normal people... This is a case of makpid. So even if you tell me I'm a very messy person, I don't mind. These things don't bother me. Doesn't matter. Botlodaitu. So you see that the concept of botlodaitu exists in all inyonim of the Torah. Whether it's Hilchas Chatzitza, we saw it in Hilchas Sukkah, and now we're seeing it again in Hilchas Brochas. Because the principle is the same. Your das is botl according to other people's das. So you can imagine, this is, it's not a simple subject. There are many exceptions, and there's much to be discussed. But that is the basic rule. So, therefore, we're coming out with a very clear-cut rule. When you have your six berekas, what's the halacha?
Wash and bench.
Wash and bench. And if you have less, you don't wash and bench. Or forget wash. You don't have to say amoitzi and bench. Whether or not you are satisfied or not satisfied, we're not looking at you. Rather, we're looking at the roiv of the world. And the roiv of the world, only a koveya suda at a certain shiur. Less than that shiur, nothing doing. That shear and above, you have to now be amoitzi and brachas amozen.
What is the shear? What is the shear?
Ah, practically?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? So first we have to get examples of pasuk b'kisin, and then, yeah, it's a very complicated chapter.
Like when it comes to like a rugla.
Right, right.
Three, like...
Very, very complicated. I recently asked Rav Nosson Kopshitz about this. People who have berekas for breakfast. You know, you go to local... bakery and you sit down with your wife and you have three or four berekas and two pieces of cake. Very unclear topic. Okay, let's try and see the Mishnah Berurah and we'll see if we get any more clarity. Says the Mishnah Berurah Chof Gimel Bekislin Besif She'achazeh, in the very next Sif, which is Sif Zayin, and we had a brief look at it, Misbo'er, it will be explained, Mahu, what is this exactly? What is Pasabo Bekislin? What is the definition? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Va'af de bestam pas mevorchin olav hamoitzi b'kol shehu. Even though on ordinary bread, what is the required amount to be mechayev you hamoitzi? The answer is any amount. If I have one crumb of bread, you also have to say hamoitzi. Va'al kezayis mevorchin birkas hamozoin. So when I eat bread, I always say hamoitzi, and at least if I eat a kazayis, I have to bench. By the way, open parenthesis.
This is no sovata.
Yeah, that's what we said earlier on. You didn't listen to the recording, Rav Nachum.
I did.
You did? I can't believe it. We mentioned the Gemara. The sovata is enough, or sovata is what you have to arrive at, mechuyev min ha-Torah. But klal Yisrael ha-machmeh, and that's why Moshe Zelig benched us this morning and he says, Yiso Hashem pono ve'ilecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds favor, favors us. And the Moshe says, how can you favor us? The answer is because they also go the extra mile, because they really only have to bench when they are fully satiated and they make a bracha, because I wasn't a kazayis or a kibetza. So we paskin a kazayis, fine. That's the rule when it comes to ordinary bread. So why is pasabo b'kisden different? Nobody told me when I eat bread that my hamoitzi all my birkas amazon depends on what do normal people eat. It's all irrelevant. Any amount is amoitzi, and at least a kazayis is birkas amazon, period. Says the Mishnah Brura, Shani Eilu. What does that mean, Shani Eilu? These are different. De ein derech b'nei Adam. It is not the normal for people likvoya sudoson aleihem. It's not the normal to be kveya suda over. Bread is by definition something you kveya suda over. So then we have a regular, a standard amount, and that's it. But this is not the norm. It's not the norm for any amount to be kveya suda over. And therefore, v'rak oichlin oison ma'at. Rather, what is the norm? People just eat a little bit, derech arai, just in a very temporary type of manner. So, therefore, lefichach birchason, rak boimelim azainis. Lacharov, brocha mein sholish. However, Elohim kein, unless ochal kashir kvias suda. Unless you ate an exaggerated amount. Remember, it's not the norm. Most people do not sit down and have a whole meal based on berekas. A bereka, again, I'm just giving the example of bereka, but it could be 50 other things, a piece of cake as well, is considered to be a snack and rather not a meal. So it's not a moitzi and there's no bereka samosa. Now, there is some qualified amount at which that's really above the normal, where that's really gone beyond the definition of snack. And now you've moved into the realms of Seuda. So under those circumstances, the Oz, Mavarach HaMoitzi, Birkas HaMozen, the Al-Koponim, Pasu, because it is, at the end of the day, bread.
So when you go to the bakery and they have that huge bin of Mizonos rolls.
I don't go to the bakery to see a huge bin of Mizonos rolls, but yes, if one would.
There's one there.
Right.
So that's, so you know, the people take them, and that's their, that instead of a lachmane, they eat that, they lechatchila, that's not a bereka or a thing. That's really
a good question. And then I get nervous with these,
because it's a huge thing. Lasagna rolls or pizza. All the time.
You know, pizza.
I was just going to ask about pizza.
Pizza. So I tell you, I'll be very, very honest with you. I know this is being recorded. I'll be perfectly honest with you. Mitzvah Hashem, we're learning in our koil here, Sukkah. Following Sukkah, we're learning brochas, Mitzvah Hashem. For the simple reason, we're learning actually this parakeet of Avarachim. I've never really learned the halachas of brachas be'iyun properly. And therefore, I'm a little bit scared when it comes to halachas of brachas. When it comes, for example, something like pizza, the once a year that I have pizza, I avoid the shayla. How do I avoid the shayla? I wash on a piece of bread and that's it.
You wash on a piece of bread?
Yeah, I wash on a piece of bread, so I avoid the subject. And you have a piece of bread, and have a kazayis, and then you have your brick of samosa at the end, and then don't run into problems. But if you suffer from what's called benchophobia, you heard that?
Yes.
Can't possibly wash, because there's a different phobia.
We call it washophobia.
There's one called fleishig phobia. I don't want to possibly have fleishig, because then I can't have milk for 6 hours. Yeah, but you never eat milk, can I? But I want to be able to. So if you suffer from fleishig phobia, benchophobia, then you don't have this option. So then you've got to start working out. Is it possible Bakistan? And what's the shin? As of this stage, I'm not really qualified at all to tell you the answer to these questions, although they're very valid questions.
From my understanding, we wash over pizza.
Good for you.
Even if I only want one slice. I don't want it to be a meal. I'm just sitting with my kids. I'm going to be sociable. I'm gonna have a half a slice.
You're getting into possible Bakistan shaykhs.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah, why can't I apply the same principle?
Yeah, you can.
Sometimes the pizza box comes. It says or it might say hamotzi.
Yeah. So I'm depends on how it was made. Depends on the thickness and depends how much you're eating. Again, I'm being very honest with you. I'm not really qualified to answer these questions, and therefore, I just have eat them with always bread. I never have pizza without bread. Never pizza without bread. What are you laughing at? I'm laughing. And that sounds like I have pizza every Monday and Thursday. I don't. Once every 3 years I have pizza, I have bread before it, and I bench after it. That way you avoid the shayla. A bigger question is, if you don't have time to have a proper breakfast, you have 3 pieces of cake, then what do you do?
Well, we eat pizza a lot, we don't eat cake a lot, so that's
for
fine.
Breakfast.
I'm weird.
So wash before and after.
Also, my kids go to the bakery and they see the mezonos.
So if not, ask your local competent rabbi. You can ask Rabbi...
I am.
Sat Lauer. What's his name?
Rabbi Lauer, yes.
I'm sure he has good things to say.
He said you have to wash a piece no matter what.
Fine, well, there you go. One of the prestigious rabbonim in Mishkafayim is Paskin, you should wash. There it is. Are there any other rabbonim there, by the way?
Yeah, there are 7 shuls, 5 have rabbonim.
You serious?
Yeah.
Any famous ones? Rabbonim? Any one?
Rabbi LeBling is...
Rabbi LeBling is a rabbi in Mishkafayim?
I heard he was not going.
Yeah, he came in there.
Well, he moved there?
No, but he walks down. None wow. live there, they walk down. Well, one, the Sephardi Rav lives there.
Wow. What type of shul is he the rabbi?
The Merkazi, the Dati Lumi.
Wow.
This travel and all.
Gosh, you got a high percentage, 5 out of 7. You know how many shuls are in Gimel? Have a guess how many shuls are in Gimel.
However many people, divide by 10.
I just counted in last week's, one of the local advertisers, they list all the names, all the shuls, minyanim times. So just according to that list, and I'm assuming there's some minyanim that don't appear there, there were over 50, maybe 60. As far as I know, there's about 3 rabbonim. Myself, Rav Albeck, Rav Levine, maybe Rav Cohen.
Because here it's a lot of angle they want.
Where in Mishkafayim?
Yeah, yeah, the ones that don't are Israeli.
Right, that's always the way. And in Rav Shemesh Gimel, it's generally more Israeli, and that's why there's less rabbonim. 100%. Okay, back to our subject. Says the Mishnah Brura, Sivkat Mechaf Dalet, if you eat an amount, the Sha'achirim Regilim Lekvoya, then what's Halacha? Hamoitzi and Berkas Hamozim. Kosvu Achroinim, the Achroinim write, De'im Ochloi Levadoina. This is a complicated question. When we say you have your 6 berekas, so then that's the norm. What happens if I have 4 berekas, but also a piece of meat? Can you supplement your pasa bo bekisnin? Or is the shear that we're talking about have to be completely comprising the pasa bo bekisnin? Says the Mishnah Berurah. Kosvachem de'im ochlei levadoi. If you are eating them by themselves, it means the only thing is you're eating is your berekas or pizza. Tzorich sheyoichal shir shachelim regilim lisvoya. Then you've got to eat the amount that people normally are kivei asuda over to get satisfied. Levado. But v'im ochloi impas. Imbosso. What happens if you ate it with meat? I hope this is not a pizza. Oy dvarim acherim, or other types of food shemalaftim by a pass, sagi kesha oichel, it'll be suffice if you eat shiur shacherim regilim lisboya mimenu kesha oichlim gamkein im dvarim acherim. In other words, you're always copying and pasting. What do other people do for their meal? So if people have 4 berekas, together also with a healthy dosage of meat, and that's called a kaviyah suda, then that's called a kaviyah suda for you as well. You don't have to have your 6 berekas. Even if it just comprises in part of berekas, but altogether you've eaten that amount, which people indeed are kaveya suda over altogether, then that's good enough for you.
So it can be half, so it can be a kazaya suda.
Right, if you supplement it. Right. If you supplement it, that's what he's saying.
So if you know that lechatchila you should wash on a kazayas of a bereka, if then you're having salads and other things and your saveya at the end.
Right. As long as, again, all together, right, 100%. So even if I didn't get to my 6 berekas, I'm having 4 berekas plus a bowl of soup plus meat and plus salads. That might well be a kvesun, so kuntis, you'd have to bench.
That's a big chilish.
And wash. Ah, im ochloi levadoi. As we said before, but if you did eat it by yourself, v'sova mimenu, and he was satisfied from it, but he didn't eat the required amount, af sha'achirim loy hoyu svei mimenu, levadoi, avol kiven she'im ochloi oisoi im dvorim achirim have a svei mimenu, So therefore, once I supplement it, if I'm satisfied, and that's considered a meal, so it's a mitzvah brachas amazon. Now, v'hine, says the Mishnah Brura, le'inyon eruv tachumin, in Hilchos Shabbos, it says there, the shir suda hu gimoloi dalet beitzim, three or four eggs, v'kos v'kam achreinim dehu hadin kan. Same two over here, choshiv bezeh shir kviyas suda. So now here's the answer to some of your questions. What is this shir that we're talking about? Three or four eggs. Avol, kama achreinim, many other achreinim, Morgan Avram, Neville Nagoyin, v'hagro michlolam, and the Goyin is one of them. Cholkim, and they disagree, v'svir lei de'ein, levorich, amoitzi, uberkas amozen, elo kashir suda kavua, shehu, shel erev, uboike. There's no three eggs or four eggs. It's got to be, you eat the amount that a person would normally eat for one of his main meals of the day. What are one of the main meals of the day? Either your morning meal or your evening meal. That's the amount. That's called Kviya Suda. He says, I found also the Eshkol, V'chemot Sossi Be'eshkol, the Muchashu Sovekein, he also holds that way. V'chein Noita Yoyse Loshna Shulchan Aruch, and that would really be, he says, the way the Shulchan Aruch seems to imply. So we have a terrific machlaikas now. According to some, if you have three or four Beitzim's worth, that's called Kviya Suda. Another say, no, it's got to be there now that you eat for a healthy supper, so what should I do? It is good, therefore, to be concerned with ledas hamachmirim, to the stringent opinion, shaloi lechol dalad beitzim. Therefore, don't eat four beitzim. Because if you eat four beitzim, you're getting involved in a machlaikas. According to the second opinion, you're not, because you haven't yet got to the amount of a full meal. The kol shekeinim udovar sheyeshli stapik by medina, and certainly if it's something you're not even sure if it is pasabob bekistnin, even though we're mekel al kapodim vada yesh lochush ledasa machmirim, etc., etc. Mishter Baruch Hafei hamoitzi uberkas hamozin, like you said before, Menachem, v'gam natilas yadayim, you'd have to wash your hands as well. Kamei bepas gomor, like we said in some kufnun ches, and then yivarech olov. Birkas Hamozoin. So that we said is that what? If you only plan to eat a small amount, three berekas, and you had such a good time of yourself, you just kept on eating and eating, it's the loch it is, you'd say Birkas Hamozoin. Why? Kiven Shehishlim Lashir Kviya Suda. Because you were mashlim. You got up to a Shir Kviya Suda.
Should a person hold themselves back?
Oh, one second. Aval Hamoitzi Ein Sarich. But you don't have to make hamoitzi. In other words, I had three berekas, and then four. And then suddenly I think to myself, I'd like to eat another two berekas. One second, if I eat another two, then I'm going to get to the magic six. So maybe I have to say hamoitzi now. He says no. Why? Aval hamoitzi ein sorech levorech al ma shenimlach lechoil. What does nimlach mean?
He planned on eating.
No, to the contrary. And that which he changed his mind. He was never planning on eating six. He was planning on eating four. So four berekas, for example, let's say, is definitely an amount where people are not kaveh suda. Fine, so he just said mezainas. And then after four, he thinks to himself, I'd like to have another couple. So there'd be room to suggest, well, now you're going to make hamoitzi. He says, no. This is nimlach. You've changed your mind. You're never planning on having number five and six. You're only planning on four. So if you don't make hamoitzi on that which you changed your mind, kiven de ein bameh shemunach lefonov, achar shenimlach, seeing as you do not have in front of you, after you've changed your mind, shir kviyas suda. How many berekas do you have in front of you now at the end of the day?
Two.
Elo b'yachad im masha ochal. It only gets to the shir together with that which you've already eaten, but that's gone. But if there really is another six on the table and you're going to eat all of those, then tzorach little yodo, 100% right. So that's pretty much the halacha. So like you said, Rav Nachum, it's how this translates into real terms. So what does that mean for my pizza? What does that mean for my berekas, for my cake, for my crackers? it is a little bit of an unclear topic. Be'ez Hashem Yisborach on Erev Chanukah, this Sunday, which is the second Yahrzeit of Rav Shteyman, it was Niftan Tovshina in Ches, Erev Chanukah, Be'ez Hashem will begin learning Sif Zayin. We've already seen the Shulchan Aruch, but we'll see it again with the Mishnah Brura. And maybe Bli Neda, I'll try and look around. One of the two of the contemporary Brochus handbooks. To see if they can just basically help us translate this into real terms, into day-to-day examples. Otherwise, it's all a bit theoretical, not so practical. Meanwhile, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Oh gosh, it's Thursday already?
Yeah. Well, yesterday was Wednesday, yeah. Tomorrow's Friday, so in a skip.